Today's show is brought to you by Target, otherwise known as Tarjay. What woman doesn't love shopping at Target? Online shopping is the best. You know why? You can shop with no bra, sweatpants, and a glass of Chardonnay. You know I'm keeping it real. Warmer days are upon us. You know what that means, right? Lounging by the pool, barbecues, cookouts, gardening, and a lot of fun outdoor activities. As usual, this week, we have not to be missed sales on clothing, shoes, accessories for the whole entire family, and even some cool deals on hot swimwear. You can access the link from my website at ninababel.com/podcast. You're going to look for episode number 9, which will give you this week's store discounts by clicking through each Target link.
It's our 20th date.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Seriously? I think we're at 18. Because there were a couple dates there that don't really count as dates.
No. I'll give you a free pass on those other ones.
Thank you.
Listen.
What?
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
I really like you. I think I'm falling for you. I don't know. I kind of see this going somewhere.
I do too.
I think we should just go crazy on each other.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, thank God.
Oh. Okay. I gotta pick those up.
Wait. In last week's episode, your monthly cycle may feel like a runaway train. But I promise it's a beast you can tame. I had a great talk with YouTuber Bree Farmer, who is known as the Menstrual Cup Diva. And if you're not ready to go this route, make sure you listen and educate the next generation. Educate her, because this is a whole new chemical-free menstrual trend that's happening out there. Like I've said before, one rule of my podcast is we overshare. And if this is your first time here, Girly Nation, let it all go, girl. TMI style, because I keep it 100, I keep it real, I keep it true. Don't forget to shout me out on Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter using @NinaBabel. So I thought it'd be fun to start with a clue to today's topic. Oh, come on, you never forget your first. Yep, it's V-card time. Yep, losing your virginity is not just a physical thing. It can be an emotional scar, it could be an emotional high, it could be an aha moment, or whatever song that was playing when it happened, it's gonna haunt you for the rest of your life. All roads lead back to that moment in time you gave it up. You decided to give it up, or unfortunately, you were forced to give it up. There's one overarching theme that I wanna bring up, and that is 80% of the women that are talking on today's show did not have an enjoyable first time experience. Damn, is this normal? It's never good the first time, we're faking it, it's not magical like in the soap operas or movies. It's awkward, the ripping, stretching, tearing, or bleeding is normal. Girl, once it's gone, you can't get it back. And I don't want to hear about this born again virgin stuff. Once it's popped, it's popped. Goodies are gone, it's gone, girl. But this is going to be a fun one, so I want you to check out the show notes at ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for episode number 9. Share it with your tribe, your friends, mothers, daughters, sisters, because this one is going to help a whole lot of women get information. So my 3 biggest takeaways is you're going to hear every woman's fear, pain, or guilt from their first time experience. We don't teach women about the emotions or implications of having sex too early. And then lastly, what sex without commitment does to our psyche. Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100?
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
My hand is raised. How about yours? Let's get this party started. So as women, we're programmed to think romantic by default, right? Or just to save yourself from marriage for that Prince Charming. Besides, losing your virginity is a vulnerable experience. Diane is in her 40s, she's divorced, and a mother of one. And Diane is going to share how she equated a harlequin romance to losing her virginity.
In the early years, there were none of that. I felt like, because especially West Indians, everything is so very, I don't know if the word is secretive, but those things aren't really shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like anyone motivated me, which is why I seeked it out on my own. Like, even at a very young age, at 16, I was reading harlequin romances.
Right, me too.
You know, when I went to the library to check out books, there were 3 educational and a harlequin romance to tote.
Right. And I remember my mother catching, like, she found the book and she was like, "This is filth." And I just kind of was like, that was the first time I had read a book and felt my body get hot.
I loved the sensation
from
it. I didn't know what it was doing.
Right.
But I just knew I would get really excited when that scene was coming. Like, oh, yeah.
Right.
And I loved when she was an innocent maiden and I was just. And it's funny, not to go off topic, but in life, I think I see myself play that out, where I try to be like the innocent maiden that finds the prince and is loved by him, and this damn harlequin romance novel did it.
Okay, so you know, as usual, I start off with my story. Phew! I was a late bloomer, but I'm proud of that. Losing my virginity wasn't epic either. I was almost 19, I believe, when it happened. Honestly, I wish it was later. Spoiler alert. But this story certainly trumps mine. Diane starts first with her mother and how that really set the stage of fear. So listen up.
I was about 16 and my mother, I had gotten a hickey on my neck from my high school boyfriend. And to us, that was like the most you can do as couples. Get a hickey. That was like, woo, we are together.
Yeah.
So I came home and I was going up the stairs and my mother... Actually, she had seen the hickey outside, and she had hit me. That was the first time my mother ever hit me on the face. And she never explained, you know, she was just like, you know, men are going to use you, have a hickey like that. I guess it's 2 parts, because I never thought that one was part 2. But she's like, men are just going to use you. And I was just like, huh?
Right.
So that was the part, and that's all she said. And she was so disgusted by it, like, that I didn't know better that men are going to use me. But then when I was going up the stairs, she was like, are you having sex? And I said, no, I'm not having sex. She said, you're too small to have sex. It's going to hurt. And then she walked away. And so the reason I actually stayed a virgin till halfway through college is because I wanted to be the proper size to have sex. I thought you had to be physically fit to have sex. And what she was trying to say is, I thought it was the sex that's going to hurt. She's talking about men are going to hurt you in a relationship once they have sex.
You. I was thinking what you were thinking.
Right. No, initially I was waiting on it because she said hurt, and I'm thinking physical. See, like you, I'm thinking physical pain. And now I realize that throughout my life, my mother would have these aha moments with me. Like, she wouldn't bring up that again, but she was like, men hurt you. So that's what she was going to say. It's going to hurt you.
Right.
So once you have sexual relationships, you're going to be hurt in relationships with men.
Right.
Whoa.
Do you ever, like, revisit that conversation with your mother?
It has been brought up before, but it's always been brought up as a joke. Like, my sister would, I think the time my sister joked to her that, remember when you told Kim? She doesn't remember telling me, but she would defend herself like, you were just too young to be having sex. So,
end of story.
That's all. You weren't married.
Okay. Right.
So, sex with men hurts you emotionally, not just physically.
Okay, now, girls, you're going to flip because Diane's story gets better. It's definitely an anomaly, but this story must be told, and I'm glad she chose me. Even though she planned it, she definitely took an unconventional route that really isn't the norm, at least not in my circle. No judgment.
So I just turned 19, and I decided I was ready physically.
Okay.
Because my mother said I have to be physically ready.
Right.
And I called my, this is so raunchy, but I'm telling the truth. I called my best friend's ex-lover. He wasn't her boyfriend, but it's someone she had sex with while we were in high school, because she always talked about how good he was. And I didn't know, all I knew was that I didn't want it to hurt. So I wanted to find someone who I know had experience with women. And I used her as a benchmark, and I got his number from her under some false pretense, and I called him, And he knew me. We'd met before, and we talked for a while. And I said, this may be very odd, but I'm coming home for Easter break. I wanted to know, can you be my first? And he's like, what? You don't call a guy and ask him to be your first.
Right. I didn't expect that from you with the story.
Astrid always talks about how good, and I'm telling him, Astrid talks about how good you are. She talks about that time in the bathroom where you were so, you know, it was so great. And I don't have any experience, so I just wanted someone who I know has experience. And so we made plans. And remember, those were back in the days before cell phones. So I called him on the house phone, and he told me how to get to his house. It was like a bus and three transfers on the subway line, because he lives somewhere out in the middle of nowhere in the Bronx.
Wow.
By myself. And you remember back then, too, you don't know what time you're going to meet. So I would try to get to a payphone before the next train would come to tell him I'm about to get on the last train.
Right.
So he met me at the subway. Thank God somehow that worked out, that he figured out where I'm supposed to be. And we went to his house. I remember his mother was home. So we went to his room. He had a bunk bed. You know, we started kissing, and we had, you know, the experience. And afterwards, I lied there, and I remember I said, huh, that didn't hurt too bad. Can we do it again? And he's like, you can't recover like that. You need time. And I remember to this day, that's my first disappointment in sex. I was just like, men can't keep up with women.
Wow. You wanted round two.
Yes, I wanted it again. At the end of it, after the pain subsided, I know I felt something. And I wanted to feel that again. I didn't have an orgasm.
Okay.
But I think something was building up.
Right.
I remember feeling something good happening. And I wanted to explore it again. And he was just like, no, 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 you can't have it. He said, you can't recover like that again.
So did it meet your expectations as far as being good, like Astrid had mentioned?
I felt he did what I needed to have done. He broke through the barrier.
Oh.
And it wasn't as painful as I had heard stories of. So I was very thankful to him for that.
Wow.
I know people are like, who sets up their first time? I do.
Wow, that's an original one. I don't think I knew anybody who's done that.
I didn't have sex for a long time after, not, I don't say long, but for like months after that, because I wasn't in a boyfriend or anything. But I was ready. I was ready to get past that fear of it's going to hurt. And everyone was talking about it.
Right.
I did groups of girls, and I was like the only virgin left.
Right.
So I wanted to be down.
Right.
But it just couldn't be just anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't
you
want
picked.
To kill me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to die.
Yeah.
I literally associated with you can physically get hurt if you don't have the right person.
So did you go back to your girlfriend to tell her what you did?
Yeah, everyone knows what I did. I was very proud of myself that I took control of it. I was very proud.
Huh.
Everybody looked at me like I'd lost my mind. And one of the reasons I had to tell is because he gave me crap.
He gave you crap?
Yes.
For what?
So I had to tell my roommates because we had to clean the room.
Oh.
So that's my only STD ever in life was my first experience. But it's also very hard to forget it. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's another topic.
Though. Yeah, we'll leave that. That was that, but that, yes. But I did share with my girlfriend before I realized I had that. I told them, and then I had to come back and say, oh, by the way, we're going to have to do a house cleansing. But I never had sex with him afterwards. That was it. And he would try to talk to me and want to see me. You were only for that experience.
Me, on the other hand, I was certainly that daughter you didn't have to worry about. Maybe it's because I was sheltered. I had no idea. I really never had an official boo, babe, bae, prom date, boyfriend until late in high school. I will admit I did have a few first, second, and third base experiences. But this isn't the official V-card story, but it's a necessary build-up leading up to the main event. So I will say this, I was a teaser. I was that girl who was okay with fooling around and not having sex. Except that I did have a few close encounters of the stupid kind. I was so clueless, painfully clueless. Crazy, huh? I mean, that's the mindset of a sheltered girl. When I officially lost my virginity, it was all driven by self-inflicted pressure that I put on myself. Then, eventually, that teaser girl, she discovered her hormones. So I was the second to last one standing in my clique. And I guess my boyfriend really couldn't deal with all the rules of just fooling around anymore. I mean, I don't blame him. But in the heat of the moment, I always did this quintessential, like, pull away, and I would be like, no, I can't. It's too soon. Or I'm not ready. Yeah, I'm not ready because I don't friggin' know what the hell is going on. But he was the proverbial basketball star athlete, and he definitely wasn't a virgin. And in this case, I based my feelings totally on appearance and because of who he was. It was nothing deeper, which will eventually play itself out. I was in my first year and semester of college when we were introduced. So 3 months into the relationship, I noticed his ex-girlfriend was trying to worm her way back in. So I felt like giving myself to him maybe would stop her because he would be so into me. At least that's what I thought. And I really wasn't used to this kind of drama in my life anyway. This point, now he doesn't ask, but he tells me I need to go on birth control. I guess that was his way of saying, I cannot hold out anymore. And I always had this speech, right? Did you get it? Did you get it? Did you get it? Every time we talked, I found myself in this sort of panic, right? This panic went through my head. Okay, I knew I had to get on the pill, but the steps to getting the prescription, they were all foreign to me. I didn't like doctors. I didn't like hospitals. And it was the fear of the unknown. You know, I postponed calling. I was making up excuses. I said I had exams. I was ignoring it, thinking it would go away on its own or he would go away. Well, he now officially started getting annoyed to the point where now he gave me an ultimatum. Ladies, real talk, never give in to an ultimatum from a man. Here I was at 18 years old being told that if I do not get on birth control, he was going to break up with me. I failed to see that this was my out of the relationship. But I was so boo-boo kiddied up with myself and him that I didn't take that route. I didn't want to lose this proverbial basketball player athlete as my boyfriend. I was like a wind-up toy after that. I jumped hoops to get an appointment. I put my feet in stirrups. I endured a pelvic exam just to meet his 2-week deadline. That still meant we had a month to go before even the birth control would kick in 100%. So I went to the clinic at the university. I told the doctor my reason for the visit was to start birth control, and not really taking into account how my body will change, how birth control works, the dosage of estrogen I will now be adding to my body, or even the long-term effects. And frankly, neither did the doctor. So I did all this to plug a hole. But it was early evening after class. He lived close to campus. His roommates were even home, which felt embarrassing, like there was really no official privacy. I felt like I was walking into the torture chamber as all eyes were now focused on me as I made the walk to the bedroom. And I know they all knew. I don't remember a whole lot, but I do remember him asking me if I was okay during sex and even at the end. I don't remember it being painful. It happened. I remember looking up at the ceiling, and when it was over, the first thing that came to mind was, that was it. He didn't even give me the big fat O. That's the fallacy right there. You think, him being an athlete, that you will have the biggest fantasy ever? Then bloop, no mas. Uneventful, disappointing, nothing to write home about. Even though I really had nothing to compare it to, I thought that it would have felt more special or romantic. But what I've learned is whether it's your first partner or your fifth, if you have good chemistry, that's when it will be special and romantic. As soon as I got home, I do remember telling my girlfriends right away. I mean, come on, I'm officially in the club now, right? But I felt like I was more excited about that than ever having sex with him again. I got the jacket. Shit got serious real fast. At least that was my perception. I felt like I was in this coronation ceremony. He dressed me with this red basketball shiny satin jacket with yellow stitching, which had his name and number on the back and on the sleeve of the jacket. I wore it like a proud soldier girl. I was officially his girlfriend and officially a woman twice over. Aww. Then our relationship kind of got weirdish. I didn't see much of him anymore. Surprise, surprise. And I was in the middle of midterms, and I really should have been studying hard, but instead I was stalking his building to see if he was home or not. What's even worse? Pretty predictable, but he dumped me shortly after for his ex-girlfriend. You know, he saw me at this party and came over to slow dance with me, but I was so weak, I was heartbroken. But it was the first time I truly saw regret in somebody's eyes. And then after, he was just being manhandled by his now girlfriend. So my friend came over and she grabbed me and she yelled at me and she was like, "What are you doing?" She was telling me, "Let him go. He is not worth it or you." And that was my light bulb moment. If there's anyone out there listening for the first, second, or third time, girlfriend, I need your 5-star rating and review after you listen to any of my episodes, including this one, by clicking the ratings and reviews section in the iTunes or Stitcher app. Then this is what you're going to do. You're going to select 5 stars, you're going to title your review, and then write a description. I mean, that's easy breezy 1, 2, 3, right? Just like a plane goes into a tailspin. That was me, out of control, couldn't keep my focus, was heartbroken, and my grades suffered real bad. You almost hate yourself for trusting and loving somebody in this circumstance, right? But real talk, since that moment, I've vowed to myself I would never, ever let a man interfere with my goals, especially when it comes to my education. Girl talk, when you lose your virginity, it's more than a physical thing, ladies. Women, you're not aware of the impact sex has on the mind, the psyche, until you're struck with it yourself. Your Pandora's box is now open. The mental and emotional switches are now turned on, and they ignite like fire. These are the feelings you didn't even know existed. Women get attached, emotionally attached to men when they're having sex. But Jennifer is single and in her late 30s, and here you're going to learn how she got emotionally attached.
When I had sex for the first time with my boyfriend, the Dominican, I didn't know we had sex. And it's not like he was not big. He was really big. And, like, obviously it was the first time of my seeing a penis, but I did my research, and he was big, and I did not know that he had sex. And, I remember after we had sex, he's like, "Well, I guess you should go on the pill now." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "At this time, we've been dating a couple months, and I didn't want to have sex with him, and I wasn't ready." And then we, like, had sex, and he thought I had said yes, and I, as much as I remember, hadn't. He was impatient. We had sex, and I didn't realize it was sex until he told me that I should go on the pill.
Oh, wow.
That was my first time. And it wasn't painful. I didn't bleed on the bed.
Okay.
And it wasn't anything special. I didn't get off in sex for a long time. Okay. It was like a couple months before we started having sex. You know, like, he would go down on me, like, all the time. And I just, like, I couldn't get off. I couldn't let go and enjoy myself and release. And so for me, I was, maybe it was 19, but he had gone, the same guy. We need to stop talking about this guy. he had gone, he was like a Rhodes Scholar in Europe and England, rather.
Wow.
And so he was gone there for like several months. And, like, when he came back, we actually decided that we would have sex. And so it happened in the basement in his house. So, like, all his lights were off, and he was kind of chilling in the basement. And he's the youngest of 3 boys, and his mom, I'm sure she was home. And anyway, yeah, it was not that comfortable, right? Like,
the setting? The setting
was... Yeah, the setting. Like, I mean, it just wasn't like how I would have actually... I mean, how I would like it to be.
Mm-hmm.
With this, like, much more, like, warm and friendly and open and, like, gloves and stuff. Girl stuff. But it was just, like, we had sex. It was okay.
Right.
Like, inherently so, right? Like, the moment that you have sex, it is romantic. Like, no. You know what I mean? Yes, have to, like, curate all that crap.
Right.
To all you virgins out there and veterans, we're all going to tell you the same thing. Every guy wants a virgin. It's a conquest. It's the ultimate badge of honor that qualifies as their bragging rights. And the worst part, no one tells you this, but guys gossip, and they gossip worse than women. Know this.
I've always ended up having, or especially in college, all my close friends were guys for the most part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, people used to joke that I was like kind of in this one fraternity because I was like best friends with all the guys. I could not be in a sorority. I couldn't.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'd be all talking and they'd be like, oh my God, I have to tell you guys something. And then they'd look around and be like, are any girls? Oh, it's just Maya. And then they'd like proceed with the most disgusting story I've ever heard. Like the raunchiest stuff would come out of their mouths. And I'm like, okay, we're getting close now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Girly Nation has opened up right. The reality is the sky didn't open up and shine a light. There were no trumpets or fireworks. You're not going to wake up the next day and the colors are brighter, the birds are louder, and the music is heavenly. It's not romantic for everyone, so I think it's only fair to represent both sides of this fairy tale fallacy. In fact, Rachel is in her 30s and she is a fitness lifestyle entrepreneur. Her own sexpectations revolved around having a fairy tale princess experience, tiara and all.
No, it's cheesy. It's prom night. It's like fully on prom night. And I was wearing a princess dress, like full ball gown skirt. And it was with my high school boyfriend. It was puppy love. Like it was cheesy.
You are hilarious already. I mean, I'm sure you didn't think it was cheesy back then now.
No, I was wearing a tiara. Like, it was, like, dream night. Like, I executed it very well.
Right.
But I grew up thinking that I was going to save myself for marriage. I grew up in a very traditional Christian home. And I think my Bible, the theme of the Bible, like, the cover actually said, like, saving yourself. So I wanted to experience it, but I also was in like puppy love with my high school boyfriend. So I was like, this is safe. This is okay. I can totally do this. And if I do it on prom night, then I'm like making up my own romantic comedy.
Right. And so did you kind of plan that in your head? Like, you know, dress aside, tiara aside, did you plan in your head that this was going to be the night, or did it just kind of present itself?
No, it just kind of presented itself, but in the back of my head, I was hoping that it would be the night.
Ah. And did you share that with anybody, or did you just keep that to yourself?
To myself. I didn't have like an open relationship with my mom, so I never got a sex talk, and I didn't have, or I had girlfriends at the time, but I don't remember having the conversation.
And so rewind to that. Period.
We had planned to stay at his place afterwards. So it was there. And there was no fireworks and there was no hotel bed. And it was just good. I remember it hurting, but I remember reading stuff online that it was going to. So I was well prepared, but I never talked with anyone about like, was it going to be painful? Was I going to bleed? Like none of that stuff. I was just like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Yeah. And so what did you do anything to prepare? Like, were you on birth control?
Oh, I remember going to my family doctor and being like, don't tell my mom, but I need birth control. Because the entire family went to the same doctor. So I was like, don't tell anybody.
Right. This is top secret.
Yeah. And I think I had to lie to my parents and tell them I was feeling sick so that I could get the appointment.
And do you recall, was this like 17, 18 years old?
I was 18.
So what were you anticipating? Were you anticipating like songbirds versus, I guess where I'm going with this question is, what was your image in your head versus reality?
I think I pictured that he would just fall deeper in love with me And that from there, he was going to tell me that we were going to be married and life was going to be perfect. Like, that's what I pictured, that this was just like, because I had grown up thinking that I was going to save this for my husband. So I was like, well, this person is potentially going to be my husband. So I'm just going to, you know, try it out ahead of time because I really love this person and I see myself with them for a very long time. So I definitely just pictured like fireworks and love.
How much longer after prom night were you still a couple?
We stayed together for 2 years after that, and even did like long distance during university, and he even moved to the same city as me to attend the same university.
So is there any advice that you would give to women who are about to go through this, or think of it as, what advice do you wish someone told you?
I wish I had been told that sex doesn't equal love. No one told me that growing up. No one told me that in my like really late teens, 19, 20, even like my early 20s. No one, like not even my friends, told me that sex doesn't equal love. And after my high school boyfriend and I broke up, I kept thinking that every time I was going to have sex with someone, it was going to equal love, because that's what my first experience was. So I wish that my mother had told me that. I wish I had had that conversation.
And how did you finally, did you arrive at that on your own? And I guess what was the trigger for you to kind of embed that in your head?
I think it was a series of girlfriends and just like really honest conversations where they're like, do you really think he was going to love you after you gave it up on the first date? And I was like, yeah. Completely like nuts. And they were like, just like looking at me like mind blown. They're like, how is she functioning like this? And I was just looking at them with puppy dog eyes, like, isn't this how the world works?
And they called it puppy love.
Right.
It's definitely been like, I can't put it to like one aha moment, but it's definitely like a series of girlfriend relationships where they constantly look at me like, what is wrong with you, woman?
It's like there's some situations where you might have slept with a guy on the first date and it lasted a long time. And then there's other cases where it just doesn't. And, you know, you try to kind of do the status quo thing, and that would be not to, right? It's like that 90-day rule. You know, give them like X amount of days, whether it's 90 or plus, to really figure out if this is somebody you want to sleep with. But, you know, you got a lot of hot and heavy moments, and it's just that kind of intoxicated blur you go through when somebody's nibbling on your ear. You lose all your senses.
Yeah, in later life, I even read that it's the 30-day love detox by Dr. Wendy Walsh, I want to say. And so I even tried implementing that because in my adult years, I'm like, am I still doing this? Like, I know this is like mentally, I understand it, but I'm like, am I still doing it? So let me try the 30-day love detox. And it worked and it didn't work. Like, again, it's just like every situation is different and there is no manual on this.
Real talk, forget the movies and TV shows. They're a fiction and not an accurate portrayal of what sex is really like for both virgins and everybody else. In fact, Rachel based her sex expectations and experience around the popular series called Sex in the City. Okay, I'll admit it too, but I don't know about you, but I'm definitely a hybrid of Carrie and Samantha.
Well, I didn't have sex until I was 18, and then I was off to university, and that was the era of watching Sex in the City nonstop on your computer. You would download all of the episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm fully attesting to the fact that Sex in the City was my entire education on sex and emotions.
Yeah, and Samantha, I'm sure, helped you out a lot.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah, that's how it's done.
Right. I wonder if they even realize the impact they've had. It's like there's a Sex and City generation. Like, I was one of them too. Like,
I spent a couple of years in therapy and I actually like brought up this conversation and had to break it down and went, holy crap. Like, because I didn't have conversations, I didn't feel comfortable talking to my parents, let alone like I had a couple conversations with girlfriends, but I never really went in depth with them. that my entire like sex education was based on this TV show and four different personalities, and I had no idea which one I should adapt or adopt. And I was like, it was confusion central all the time. And so I definitely attest to the fact that most of my confusion in relationships and sex and emotions is based on Sex in the City. And so they definitely warped a generation.
So I personally never had access to porn growing up. At the most, I did see Playgirl and Playboy magazines a few times only because I had older male cousins. But these women in their 30s and their 40s, they're going to tell you what they learned about sex through porn or television.
But I was also a young lady that watched,
soap operas?
Porn.
Really? See, yeah. I thought that was the young generation, they do a lot of that. But in our day, you watched a lot of porn?
I had an older brother.
Okay.
And he had older friends. And they would leave TV on.
Okay.
Back in New York, in the late 80s, there was the first cable network that came out. And a lot of people didn't pay for it. They knew how to steal cable.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that cable in our house. And after 11 p.m. at night, it would have soft porn.
Okay.
So for Rachel, it's Sex in the City. For Nina, it's soap operas. And Diane, it was porn. The bottom line is you're going to feel tense or scared, which most people do feel their first time, because it could be really difficult to enjoy your first experience.
What's this Totally Her talk about? On the show, we are always talking about women that are totally her. She's the girl who has fun, short, relatable, inspiring, socially and sexually awkward real-life everyday conversations that girlfriends normally have on a daily.
The universal truth is sex is really overstated. It's overhyped, it's overrated, which brings me to those of us who felt like the biggest noob, right? Which is short for newbie, who obsessed alone silently before it happened. So warning, for all you mothers listening to this episode who send their daughters to camp every summer, you're going to want to listen a little closer. Because Amanda, who is Jewish, now a dating coach in her 30s, is about to relive her camp experience, which you will see carries a hint of guilt, pain, and embarrassment.
I should start by saying that I'm Jewish, and so I went to Jewish summer camps.
Okay.
And maybe it's just totally cliche for a Jewish girl to lose her virginity at a Jewish summer camp. But that's what happened.
Wow.
With this guy who, oh my God, he totally broke my heart. He totally captivated me. He adored me, probably not in a healthy way. Like, again, it's probably more of that, like, I was getting my confidence and happiness from him type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course I was going for it because I really liked him and the way it made me feel.
Right.
And it probably turned into a little bit of an addiction, and I knew that he had been around the block a time or two. And so only after when you're in summer camp, you don't really date. You're just kind of like hooking up or something. I don't know. So only after like a couple days of talking, we took a walk or a hike, not even into the woods, laid down a blanket. And I was like a little nervous. I had never had sex before, but I didn't tell him that. I had made him believe that I was not a virgin.
Oh.
Cause I didn't think he'd want to have sex with me if I was a virgin.
Okay.
And it hurt so bad. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I was just like, oh my God, I don't know why people care about doing this crap. This sucks. And that was kind of it. And then I told my friend, I was like, yeah, so we've already had sex. And she, I just remember the look on her face, like her jaw dropped, her eyes like increased like, like twofold, like really, like that was fast. And I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't have done it, but whatever. I was at that point, I was older, so I was kind of happy just to kind of get it out of the way. Like, I didn't want to be a virgin anymore.
Yeah.
I think it was after my freshman year of college, so I was 19, and a lot of my friends had lost their virginity. I mean, some in high school, but definitely a lot freshman year of college. And I just remember feeling just really almost ashamed that no one wanted to have sex with me. And then finally someone wanted to have sex with me. I was like, oh, let's just get over this. I don't want to have the V card anymore. And I didn't, it wasn't really that great. And he ended up breaking my heart anyways. I knew it was going to happen. Okay. Yeah. And like, again, I had no confidence to be like, well, you know, can we do this slow? I've never like had sex before, or maybe not have sex like right now. Like maybe get to know each other. Like that was like not even in my mindset at all. The worst part and I'm just remembering, I forgot this happened, but that summer, so I wasn't in birth control, so I was a virgin at the time. And so, of course, we were having sex, and one time the condom broke. And I was at camp, so you're like a little isolated, and there was nothing I could do but tell my boss, like, what had happened, and that I needed to go down to the pharmacy, like, that was in the town, which was like a 30-minute drive away, so I'd have to take time off to get the morning after pill. And I couldn't tell her who the guy was, and I couldn't say anything like that because he was actually a superior.
Oh.
and so that was awful. That was really awful.
Yeah.
That was not fun.
Right. Like, at what point do you realize it broke, the condom broke? Is it during or after?
After. Yeah. Like, it comes out, and then, like, the condom is just, it's either, like, split in half, or, like, the bottom part, like, the rubber, like, the band thing is still on, but everything else is just, like, completely destroyed, yeah.
Okay.
Anita's now married. She's in her late 30s and has one child. Her experience didn't even register on the Richter scale, but she definitely validates my fooling around theory. Yeah, she's in agreement.
My first experience was with the guy that my first kiss ended up being my first sex. And he was nice. He was very sweet about it. He had been pursuing it for quite some time. It wasn't euphoric. I do recall after the end of the experience, I had built so much into that in my mind, thinking that, oh my God, once I do this, I'm gonna be a woman. Am I gonna look different on the outside? Will people be able to tell? And it wasn't like a out of body euphoric experience. It wasn't any of that. I think I got more out of the first kiss, like sensations, than that, to be honest. So.
Real talk. The one good piece of advice a guy gave me was that sex is all mental, before, during, and after. Don't romanticize sex so much. Discuss the boundaries and the expectations. But here's another unconventional story for you, girly nation. I really shouldn't label it as such, but really what tickles me pink is that if we could have more of these four-way conversations, people, we are certainly headed in the right direction. So Sarah is 20. She's a second-year student in college in a four-year long-term relationship. She not only had the conversation with her mom, but also with her boyfriend's parents.
And it's not like I was thinking about my mom when I had sex for the first time, but afterwards, like, I was not surprised at all at how it went. You know what I mean? It wasn't this big romanticized thing in my head. I was very well prepared for when I lost my virginity. I knew it wasn't going to be enjoyable. It wasn't this big thing where I was like, oh, I need rose petals and candles. It was one of those, like, by the time it happened, and I hate to make it sound so bad, but it was one of those, like, I want to get this over so that we can have those good moments. I mean, I still really saw it as an important thing. I didn't just give my virginity away to anybody. As you can see, I've been with him for 4 years. So when me and my boyfriend, Jesse, had been together for, it was pretty close to 6 months, though. And, you know, me and Jess had started to have more sexual conversations, kind of like sexting and stuff like that, and just talking over the phone more so, like, just more of those sexual conversations. And his mom actually, like, and when we started having those conversations, I texted him and I was like, I would be more comfortable having sex if we sat everyone down and had an adult conversation about it and just kind of put it out there, you know, that we were thinking about this. And so Jesse actually got in trouble and he had his phone taken away and his mom read the text. And she was actually really, really impressed with the fact that I was being such an adult about it. And of course, because she read it, she was like, okay, let's make this happen. So we all sat down, we went to my boyfriend's house, and we had dinner. You know, it was just me and mom and Jess and his two parents, and we sat down and we talked, and one of those awkward moments, it was kind of funny. Jesse, my boyfriend's dad, Chris, is very, very blunt, and he was trying to make Jesse understand the seriousness of me losing my virginity and that it wasn't going to be this romantic thing, which I already had known. My mom had already taught me that it was going to be painful. And he I forget exactly his wording, but he said something like to Jess that it was going to be extremely painful for me. And he just looked at me and then I was just like my eyes got really big, even though I already knew it. It was just the way he said it was very intense. And he's like, he pulled me aside after. He's like, I hope I didn't scare you. I was just trying to make Jess realize that this isn't going to be some big romantic thing for him. So it was this really amazing and awkward conversation all at the same time, because I gained a lot of respect from and for my boyfriend's parents. The fact that they were willing to be so comfortable about this conversation, which I'm sure it really wasn't comfortable, but the fact that they were willing to try, because I had heard of so many parents that were like, you're not having sex with my kid, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and it turns into this really big mess. It was just really nice that it wasn't like that for me. And I think a big part that played into that was the fact that I was willing to have that conversation.
As you get older, you look at sex as an intimate activity you're doing with the one you love. The more pressure you put on sex, whether you're a virgin, you're new into a relationship, or even marriage, the worse it will make you feel.
I mean, I let go. I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I felt the woman... But that was like, I was like 37.
Yeah.
And now in my 40s, sheesh. Some people scared of me. When the baby goes to sleep, mommy ain't the same.
Right.
Virginity is precious, and treat it that way until you're ready. You don't have to be religious either to wait. You can get hurt no matter if you're in a relationship or you're married. But in my opinion, I believe in testing the car before you drive it. I cannot marry someone that I don't know whether I'm sexually compatible with. So my vote goes for saving your virginity until you're ready. Tell yourself to wait until you know they are worth it. Bonnie is a spa salon owner, married mother of three in her 40s, who talks about her full circle journey about virginity and sex and how she will teach her daughter to wait.
Really give her a spiritual basis now. You know, in hindsight, I didn't have that. I didn't have, the parents weren't very spiritual. They weren't, you know, we went to church, but there was never an understanding of, this is really God's will for you. There's nothing wrong with having sex, but there's a content in which I think you should have it. You know, I've got to give you the spiritual because you have to be a balanced individual. You know, that's just me. I would let her know, you know, And let me say this. I think married, there's a different feeling with sex that I'm married than when I was not married. I can really, and I shared this with one of my girlfriends at the time, because my husband and I really decided, you know, that we really didn't want to have sex, you know, before we got married. We really, and I mean, you know, there were times that was really, really hard. But definite feeling, I can't even... It's a different spirit in which involved when you have married sex and when you don't have married sex. And I feel like I'm a story on it because I've experienced both ends. You know what I'm saying? I know friends that didn't have sex until they got married. Then I have friends that really, you know, maybe are not that spiritual or don't have a relationship. And so they're not coming from that perspective. If you don't come from a place understanding what God's will is for you in terms of how you should present your body and how you should abstain from sex, mm-hmm. If you don't come from that point of reference, then you just don't come from it. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying that's right. That's just where you are.
Okay.
Because I came from a Baptist background, but it wasn't until I came to D.C. and really gave my life to Christ and really got rooted into a holiness church and really, you know, understanding, look, you should present your body as a living sacrifice. God would desire you to wait until you got married to have sex. There is a right way to do sex, and there is, according to God, a wrong way to do sex. So that began to shape my perception about sex. You know, I went years without having sex because I was like, you know what, God, I want to do this your way. And not to say that I always hit that mark, but it was my desire that, you know, God, I really do want to wait till I get married. I want to honor you with my body. I want to, according to your word, I really want to abstain from sex outside of marriage. And so that began to really shape even my relationship. So, you know, I would date people. I would not have sex with them. You know, I'd kiss them, no problem. I wouldn't have sex with them because I just felt like that wasn't what I wanted to be. My thought and my goal, you know, and this is a short, long story. God really dealt with me in that whole situation. He told me it was wrong from the very first date. Mm. From the very first date.
Mm.
And he continued to send me prophetic words to say, you need to get out of this. This is going to result in heartbreak. I didn't listen because I was really in a place of disobedience because I wanted what I wanted.
Right.
And it wasn't because God wasn't trying to warn me and show me. He was. And as a result, my son was born. And as a result of where I was and what I felt to do, there has been, you know, particularly with my son, and, you know, I'm over with his father because his father to me is an idiot, but it has birthed a lot of heartbreak, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment, not only for me, but for my son.
Right.
And, you know, I draw from that reference, God really wanted to protect me. He really wanted to protect me, but I chose not to listen.
Mm.
And, you know, the relationship that I had prior to my knowledge of God, I don't regret them because that's where the place I was. I wasn't knowledgeable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I
just didn't know. I knew God existed, and I knew, you know, I'm not supposed to, really, God wants me to be married, to have sex, but it wasn't really a reality in my heart. And so now that this is the life that I've choose to live, you know, with Ferris, I would do a disservice to say, you know, this is the way God really wants you to live. And it's not because sex is not good. It just avoids a lot of heartache. It avoids a lot of complications. It can save you from a whole bunch of things. And if you maintain that status, one, there's a blessing in that. And I can honestly say I really feel, because I really tried to honor God and not have sex with my husband before, I think there was a certain sense of a blessing that I felt I received from that. I know people that waited till they got married, and, you know, it's just a different quality of relationship because now you don't focus on the sex. The sex is not the primary thing.
Right. It doesn't drive the relationship.
Yeah, you don't become distracted. Sex is a distraction to some extent because, particularly for women, we are very emotional. And when we have sex with someone that we care about, there's all that tangled up into the relationship where, you know, like, for example, I have a girlfriend now. You know, I remember when I was dating my husband, I told her, I said, this is our position. And she said, wow, I've never met anybody like that. And I said, well, don't think I'm so wonderful because, trust me, it's very hard, you know, being attracted to someone and wanting to have sex with them because I'm not a virgin. But long story short, she got engaged. She met this guy this year and was like, oh, my gosh, Shmaine, you know, we're getting married on such and such date. And I was so happy for her. And when I went to Atlanta a few months ago, because she was just giving me updates, you know, this is our date, this is the dress, blah, blah, blah. But I, you know, didn't know anything about him. And so when she and I met for dinner, I said, well, you know, bring me up to speed. I mean, where did you meet him? Blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out he didn't even live in the same city that she lived in. They met, you know, through a mutual friend, and so they were dating, and she worked for the airline, so, you know, she could see him every weekend or he could come there. But the first thing that she said when she started dating him, she said, I don't want to have sex with you until we're married. And initially he agreed with that. He was like, okay, I understand your beliefs and I respect that. But the closer they got to the marriage, he was like, well, look, you know, we don't get married anyway. Let's have sex. He was like, no, I really want to wait. Now, what's interesting, when she and I were talking, she was telling me all these things, and they're huge flags that were coming up, red flags. And I said, you know, he feels like the sex will cloud over the red flags that are already relevant. But see, you are not confused. You're very clear. See, if you would have had sex with him, I'm already telling you, you would bypass all these red flags. because you're emotionally connected to him and you already love him. Now imagine having sex with him. Oh, and Lord knows if he's great in bed, it clouds everything. But you can see clearly now. You can see these are red flags. I mean, he had some issues with his family. He had some health issues. He had this. And so you can deal with those without being confused. Because, I mean, me just personally, I just find that sex confuses things. In retrospect, now, at this point in my life, I can easily say that. And if you're not having sex with the person and you still love them, they still love you, you guys are communicating, you're on a whole different level. Sex is really just an added benefit.
Yeah, well, I think it was from a therapist asking, like, where did you get this notion of sex equating to love? And so I would explain that it was one from my Christian upbringing, that you saved yourself from marriage. So if I was giving sex to another individual, then I really planned to be with them or wanted to be with them. And then just seeing the passionate relationships between the long-term relationships with the women in Sex and the City, like they would sleep with the men and then they would, you know, be with them for a long amount of time. So I was like, oh, okay, so this is okay to have sex early in a relationship because these women are doing it. And it can be deep, but it's also like it's just a reality of our society that based on what mass media is consumed, we're all absorbable sponges. Even in our adult years, we absorb information and learning all the time. But as someone who's impressionable, and if there's no kind of conversation and exploration of like where our minds should frame these large ideas, then we're impressed upon by mass media. Like, I also believe Jerry Maguire messed women up. Like, to tell someone that you're completed by another person, that's my biggest pet peeve in the world, is that, like, that statement, you completely messed women up for years. So mass media is definitely a huge problem. And as I think about the future and having kids, I'm just, like, blown away about, like, what, not that I want to stop them from consuming things, but just, like, how can I just be so much more open to conversation and really work through thoughts around everything. So it's not about sheltering people in the future, but just it's that conversation and having as many as possible.
So in most cases, sex only gets better. Sex is the most natural thing for us humans to do. It's an evolutionary imperative to human beings. It's ingrained in our brains. Relax, enjoy it. It's designed to make you feel good, take away the stress, and strengthens the bond between you and your husband, your partner, your significant boo. So let's talk future, right? Let's girl talk. The biggest known unknown is most women never enjoy their first. There are a few exceptions, but the fairy tale maiden Sleeping Beauty image has got to go. Poof, be gone. No matter what part of the world we live in, we are raised to believe our virginity was meant to be special. When it comes to losing your virginity, girly nation, this clip pretty much sums it up right here for me.
First time was a flatliner. I was and I was in college and that's it. It was more fun to fool around. It's way more fun to fool around.
It really is.
I was like, Well, my first time didn't work. I have a very low pain threshold. Yeah, it was a big dude too. He played on the football team. And I'm just not one for pain.
Right. Was he also big?
He was big. Yes, he was also big. Yes.
Right. Than others.
And if it's your first time, you're tense.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to relax. So he doesn't have to be very big for it to be uncomfortable with you like this.
A tampon hurt. Okay.
That's right.
Let's be real, ladies. Who doesn't love a good chick flick, right? Because we get suckered in by all the romantic shows, movies that make us laugh, cry, make us women bond, we sing our hearts out, we relive the heartbreak, and we indulge in the hopes and dreams of love. What women fantasize or girls fantasize as the perfect, epic love story. I'll admit, my faves are The Notebook, The Breakup, and The 40-Year-Old Virgin when it comes to virginity. But they're all classic examples of how we get caught up in the fluff. The fluff, the happy fluff, the fuzzy fluff, the love story fluff. the ridiculously unrealistic ending fluff.
And this is how our next guest describes the fluff and how it was a huge problem in her work.
Mass media is definitely a huge problem. And as I think about the future and having kids, I'm just like blown away about like what, not that I want to stop them from consuming things, but just like how can I just be so much more open to conversation and really work through thoughts around everything. So it's not about sheltering people in the future, but it's that conversation and having as many as possible. I'm a big fan of Brené Brown's Daring Greatly and conversation about vulnerability and shame. And it was funny because when you said we're going to talk about like your V card, I was like, ooh, like there's a part of me that was like, ooh, shame. But it's allowing vulnerable conversations to happen and being vulnerable with children and girlfriends or whoever wants to have that conversation. But just like allowing that vulnerability to be there, ensuring that there's no shame associated with any of these conversations so that it allows for a continued dialogue so that children feel like they can come back after a conversation and ask more questions or discuss a situation that's confusing them. But I think it's being a vulnerable parent will be the only kind of guide I take with me.
None of us are very knowledgeable about sex when we lose our virginity. Real talk. There are a lot of external influences. As you've heard, porn. And you know what? Google has so many people claiming her as their sister, it's not funny. For us late bloomers, we get embarrassed by the fact that we're still a virgin, and you know what? Will it ever happen? In these last two stories, these are great examples that your virginity is sacred, even if all your friends are doing it. Wait for the right person. It will be worth it. Okay, so where are all the guys like this one creating illustrative books like he did for his girlfriend? Are you seriously out there, or did she just happen to luck out?
Everything I know about sex came from my first boyfriend, who literally wrote me a book, illustrated and everything, on everything I needed to know. Blowjobs, what happened. He is the one that told me that you pee and have sex from two different places. I did not know this.
Oh, that's so cute.
I never looked down. I just assume it all came from the same place. And mind you, I first had sex at 17, so I did not know. He is the one. She never, I got nothing.
Right. That's so cute.
Nothing.
Was he older?
Yes, he was just a little bit older, mm-hmm. but he was so much more experienced and just, he was like living on his own at that point. Wow. I still have that book to this day. The best thing ever.
Wow.
It was based in fact, it wasn't like, he had actually done research to find out, talking about orgasms and ejaculation and what's gonna happen, what to expect, what I might feel, all of it.
And what does he do today?
Yeah, I don't even know.
He just tried to make it as sweet as possible, you know, he lit candles and he, you know, he had, I think it was about 18 at that point. Yeah, because I graduated at 17. So, yeah, I had already been in college. And my birthday was in September, so I was in college. Yes, I was 18. And it was just really, really sweet. He was very gentle. He was very patient. He, was very tender. It was a really, very beautiful moment. Like, it just, you know, I have no regrets losing my virginity to him at all.
Hmm.
And, I just remember, he just held me and he was like, are you okay? Are you sure? I was like, no, it's fine. Because he was just very, I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
And I think, this is a completely different age when you see, sex kind of openly. And I just never saw anything on television. And my girlfriends that I was very close with had already lost their virginity. And some of them had really bad stories. And some of them were like, it's okay. And I just think because maybe they weren't really in love with the person. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was madly in love with him, I just felt like it was just, just took our relationship to another level. And yeah, I think a very beautiful, tender moment.
Hey, Girly Nation, you mean the world to me that you're tuning in every week. This movement towards keeping it 100, keeping it real and true, is really meant to empower women from all walks of life to make the right decisions and realize, you know what? You're not alone. We're all experiencing the same feelings, struggles, and crossroads. I'm just so happy to make this a safe place to tell your stories. We're in this together. My hand is raised. How about yours?
And there you have it, Girly Nation. That wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, please tag me on Twitter or Instagram using the handle @NinaBabel. Or you know what's even better? Send me a snap. Yeah, on Snapchat. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girls Show, they drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And you know what? We're expanding. Yeah, we're going to be available on Google Play, YouTube, and Spotify. How's that, huh? Don't forget to share the show with all your girlies. And anybody that has a question or personal story, send your email to ask@NinaBabel. And I'm going to feature it on an upcoming show. Give me some love, Girly Nation. Show me that girl hug by subscribing, rating, and reviewing my podcast in iTunes. After all, I'm still the new chick on the iTunes block. When you rate and review my podcast, you're helping my position in every iTunes category. You can also check my videos on YouTube. You type in the search field, Nina Babel, and it's going to bring up Girl Circle TV. But tune in next week when us single and married women, we chat about the reality and the expectations of man chores. Until then, smooches! Peace out.